Are you ready to start running your business as the CEO and stop wearing all the hats? Then you're in the right place for this episode today.
Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
Today, we're thrilled to have Megan Kane from Ops Strategy and Management. She is an ops expert who works with visionary CEOs of growing service-based businesses, especially those with a social impact and nonprofit focus, who are in the process of building a team because they know there are gaps that keep them stuck in the day-to-day of their business. She helps them fill the often missing middle layers of strategy and management so they can get back to doing the visionary work that will propel their business forward. So welcome, Megan. We are thrilled to have you today.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
When I was looking over the notes for your topic, I'm so excited. And my first question was, when I saw this, was what are the four layers to a business? Like, is that where we're going to start today? Because that seems so interesting to me.
Yeah, so I think that's a great place to start. So there's four layers to every business. There's vision, strategy, management, and implementation. And so one thing that I talk a lot about with my clients, who are often the CEOs and the founders, is that they should be sitting solidly in the visionary seat and then sometimes dipping down into strategy, but not doing the management and the implementation. Ideally, there are other people on their team that are doing the management implementation, not them.
Kind of thinking in my mind, I'm kind of, and Jeannie, you might feel the same way, kind of laughing in my head a little bit because we're trying to get there. And I guess it's easier said than done. We just recently did hire an operations manager to kind of start helping us out with that. And it's a powerful statement to make. So what are some of your tips and the things? How do you coach your clients into getting there? Because I think that's what we all want to know, is how do we get to the point where we can spend more time in the vision, a little bit in the strategy, and really trust that everything else can get done? How do we do that?
Yeah, really the strategy and management is where I come in. But I think one thing that happens is that people say, oh, I need to get help. And I think often what the popular advice is to just hire a VA. And a VA will solve all your problems. And VAs are wonderful. And I work with some amazing VAs, who really helped me do my job better. And I think it's important to understand that someone at the administrative level, so a VA sits at that implementation level, is that they're going to need very clear guidance and directions in order to do their job successfully. But what I've noticed is that visionaries who are very overwhelmed don't really have the time to offer that clear guidance. And so sometimes that's where there's a relationship mismatch, where the visionary is not getting what they need because they feel like, okay, the VA is not delivering, or they're not understanding what I'm saying. And really that's because the visionary is going from that visionary layer all the way down into the implementation, right? So they're trying to cover too many layers.
So when I'm talking to a client and they'll say to me, well, I want to hire a virtual assistant who can just run my business. And my thought is, well, why wouldn't they just own their own business and you'd work for them, right? You know, I hate you mean, but like, you're not hiring a virtual assistant to step into the role and be able to do everything you want them to do. And it also, over the years, let me tell you, from hundreds of virtual assistants that we've worked with to hundreds of clients, it's so interesting because from the virtual assistant's perspective, they're often, people want them to be mind readers. You know, they want them to be able to just know what they want, know how to do it, not give them any direction. And that's so frustrating for them. And then they're yelled at because they're not able to read minds, right? And then on the flip side of that, I feel so bad for business owners who they hire a virtual assistant and then they just throw their hands up and give up because, well, if I have to spend all this time training them, I'll do it myself. You know, it's not worth it if I have to, you know, tell them everything to do. And so, like you said, there's this big disconnect between hiring someone and providing a great onboarding process and providing standard operating procedures and being clear on the expectations and the goals that you're giving them. If you bring a virtual assistant in at that level and with that level of support, you're going to win every single day, and they're going to win. They're going to have a job that they love, and they're going to stay with you for years. But if you bring them in expecting them to be mind readers or expecting them to basically step in and run your business, you know, I can promise you an epic fail, right? And so I can see where that could be a problem even with your clients.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. And I've worked with, I've come into situations where the VAs are upset and they feel like they're not doing a good job, and that's not fair to them either. So I think either the founder visionary needs to make sure they're serving that. I mean, they're basically serving in that management layer, right? Not everybody can afford at different points to be in every layer, but you have to really be cognizant that you are the manager of the implementer, of the VA, or you have to get somebody else to come in and help manage them. Or like you all do, you, in a way, they're outsourcing the management and the implementation because you're setting up the VAs to be successful. So it really just depends on where, I think there's some self-awareness and business awareness at this point of where are you in business is it time to bring in management and strategy to help fill out those layers? If not, then you are going to have to fill in some of those layers and carve out the time to do it, to have a successful implementer.
I think I can speak from a vision and strategy. Like if we could just hang out in vision and strategy and not have to deal with management or implementation, that would be like heaven for us. So you actually help clients get to that point, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, that is your job. That's the job of the two of you as the founders and the CEOs. That's where you should be. That's where most likely you're going to be the happiest. That also is, in my experience, it's helps you get back to the reasons why you started the business, the things that you love to do. So visionaries really should be spending time coaching, you know, depending on your business, how your business is set up, but visionaries should be coaching, doing thought leadership, speaking, teaching, writing, networking, raising money, maybe client creation, unless you have other people on your team doing that. And most of the visionaries that I know and work with is they're not spending enough time in that visionary seat doing those really big picture things that really drive the business forward and help the business grow and also help the business align with what their vision is. So that's often why when I meet them, they're feeling really overwhelmed. And they're often stuck in the day-to-day. So if you think about those four layers, the day-to-day really is that implementation and the management. That's the day-to-day operations. And when you're dipping down into those, it almost weighs you down. I feel like it kind of sucks you down out of the visionary seat into those other layers, which is why you feel like you're drowning and you feel like you're stuck in the day-to-day weeds.
Yeah, that's so true. And I feel like a lot of people think, well, once I get the day-to-day done, then I'll work on the strategy. And then what happens is the day-to-day expands into week to week, and then they're never getting to that high level strategic part of their business.
Right. I think that's true. And I think because often it's some visionaries I work with, it's not even their strength, the day-to-day. So one of my clients said, I was stuck doing things I didn't like, and worse, I wasn't even good at. So I'm trying to do these things that I know I'm not good at, and I'm making mistakes and things are going wrong. And so then you're tired when you're outside of your zone of genius and you're trying to force yourself to do all these things that you don't like. I don't think it's realistic to think that you're going to have energy at the end of the day to then think about the visionary things.
Right.
I think you're just going to be too exhausted.
Yeah, I think it's really surprising to me because we do talk a lot about the fact that you can outsource, you can delegate things to your virtual assistant that you don't know how to do. So realizing that if you have a great structure and a great process for delegating, you can have people do things for you that you literally don't know how to do. And I'll often say to people, just because I can't edit a video doesn't mean I can't instruct the virtual assistant on what I like or dislike. You know, by coaching my marketing virtual assistant on, I love the smooth transition, I hate this really jerky transition, or, you know, the B-roll is fantastic in this area, but this B-roll right here has, you know, too many men in it. Most of our clients are women. I can coach them on what I want the video to look like without ever needing to learn how to edit. And I think that's scary for a lot of people. I think they feel like if they don't know how to do everything in their business, and because there's a lot of people out there giving that advice that you should be able to do everything in your business, then they feel like they can't trust someone else to do it because they don't know how to do it. And I don't, right. I simply don't get that.
Yeah, what I like to say is you just have to know the what, you don't have to know the how. And that's, and it is a process. I will say, you know, some visionaries I work with, I come in and they're like, yes, get all of this stuff off my plate. I don't want any of it. And it's easy. But I think you're right. With other people, it takes time. You have to build up trust, and they have to, you know, you have to have a team in place that you trust is doing the things that you need done, and that they can figure things out. And you just say, this is my vision. And then you have people that are like, great, got it on my list. I'll go figure it out. I'll come back to you with any questions.
So when you find that CEO who is dipping from visionary to strategy, how would you coach them into staying in the visionary role? How do you kind of, because once you've started working with someone, you're probably very quickly getting them more and more into the visionary role. So how do you coach them on trying to get them to stay there?
Well, I think it's just a lot of repetition. I was just meeting with a client today. Most of my clients, we have a weekly meeting. This is a new client, so we're about a month in. And I said, oh, this is the first time I've come to a meeting where I have an agenda. I have things that I want to talk about. You know, I've been listening and taking a lot of things in. And so then I think there's this subtle beginning of a transformation where I'm starting to take the lead on more things. And so I think a lot of it is having the right people in the right places, right? If you want people to take things off your plate, like you said, a VA, you can't hire a VA and expect them to run your business. If you want a strategic thought partner, you want someone to show up and say, these are the things that we need to talk about. These are the questions that I have. What do you want to do about that? This, it's really a higher level person, right? I have a client that's on vacation for 2 weeks and another client that just came back from a 3-month maternity leave. Like, you need higher level people in your business if that's how you want to be in a relationship to your business, that you can leave for 2 weeks and everything is still running. You're going to need, you know, unless you have an extremely simple business that you think, okay, I could leave for 2 weeks and a VA could probably keep most things running. That's not the case for most of the people I work with, that they're growing and they're scaling and their businesses are becoming slightly more complicated. So it's time, it's trust. And it's really having a strong partner who knows that the objective is to start getting things off your plate to help you get back into that visionary seat. And so freeing up your time. So I think it's somebody that has to be cognizant of, this is the goal. You need to be doing these things. These are the things that you want to be doing. And we're going to work towards getting you back into that visionary seat and out of the day-to-day.
So yeah. Megan, a little bit off topic here, just out of curiosity, how did you get into being like an operations manager, or what actually do you consider your role to be, and how did you move into this space?
Yeah, so I call myself different things, operations lead, director of operations, COO. It kind of depends on people's businesses and what their title structure is. One of my new clients said, well, what do you want me to call you? And I said, well, you can call me director of operations if you want. COO, whatever you want. I had a business. I still have a business. I have a vegetable gardening education business. So really my first career was in gardening education. I worked for a nonprofit. I started a bunch of programs. Then I left. I started my own business in vegetable gardening education, which it's about 11 years old. And now it's mostly online. I have a pretty extensive website. It's called creativevegetablegardener.com in case anybody's a gardener who's listening and is curious. But through running that business, I learned a lot. I always think if I had known all the things that I didn't know when I started a business, I would have been probably scared. It was ignorance is bliss in that case. So I learned a lot over those 11 years. And I have to say, mostly I was a solopreneur. And so it was lonely. And so in 2020, I started to think, I'm kind of tired of working by myself. And I always thought I could work with other entrepreneurs in their businesses. That would be fun. I'd get back to working with a team on collaborative projects. And so I actually started my business as a project manager, because I've always done a lot of project management in all of my jobs. And I knew, okay, that's something that I'm really strong in. I'm a great project manager. But then it just started to morph into more operations. I saw that a lot of people, they didn't just have a project management need, they had more of an operations need. So they wanted help with hiring, they wanted help with some HR stuff, with managing some of the implementers in the team. And so my role within people's businesses started to grow, because I love learning new things. I wanted to serve my clients. Everybody has small teams. One of the things that I've always been good at, because I have worked at a lot of small nonprofits as well, is that you kind of have to know how to do a lot of things, and you have to be willing to learn how to do new things. And so that's certainly one of my superpowers. And so I just got deeper and deeper into people's businesses. And then really, like a lot of us, how we develop our businesses is seeing people's pain points and their needs and realizing, oh, I can help solve some of these problems. And so I just listened to my clients and saw what they needed and figured out, oh, I can, ops is a big need for a lot of people, operations, and it's something that I'm good at. And so I think we have a match here.
Very good. Yeah. And I think it's so valuable. Oftentimes we're so involved in the business that we can't see, and especially businesses that are growing, and you know, owners who are feeling overwhelmed, they can't see where those gaps are, or you know, what's missing in the structure or what's not working. So bringing someone in like you is fantastic.
Yeah. And a lot of teams, some people I work with already have the beginnings of a team. And what I find is their team wants more structure, their team wants more organization. With my new client, I am leading a hiring process because they're bringing on a new team member. So I stepped in, I'm leading it. And I was just talking to the CEO yesterday, and she asked me some questions. She's like, wow, this is the furthest ahead we've ever planned in a hiring process. She's like, this is so great. Usually we're reactive, but now we're being proactive. And so I think it was interesting that she said that, because I thought, oh yeah, I think that is a switch. I think that a lot of CEOs get to a point where they do want to make that switch and stop being so reactive to everything and really start to have some space, have some time, bring in somebody that can start to plan ahead. Okay, if we want to hire somebody in 3 months, what do we need to have in place? What kind of, you know, financials need to be in place? So just, yeah, that change from being stuck in the day-to-day and feel like you're drowning. And that is part of getting back into the visionary vision and strategy, so that they can look ahead and then communicate to the team, so that the team can then help plan ahead.
Yeah, the reacting part is, it's exhausting. You know, if you're constantly feel like you're chasing your tail, and you know that you're never getting ahead. So yeah, it's phenomenal that you help people get to that. You know, it's such a great feeling, and such a relief off your shoulders when you get to that point where it's like, oh, we're ahead of the game. This is fantastic.
Right. Yes.
Well, Megan, thank you so much for joining us today. You are a wealth of information. Now I know the four layers of our business: vision, strategy, management, and implementation. So many great golden nuggets in our talk today. So thank you for being here. If you want to reach out to Megan, you can find her at megancain.com. It's MEGANCAIN, megancain.com. And you will be able to reach her from there. She was our ops strategy and management professional. So if you are interested in, we talked a little bit about a marketing virtual assistant. If you're interested in that, there is a link below for our Double Your Income with a Marketing VA. It's a free report, and you can find it at outsourcingforbosses.com. So thank you again, Megan, and we hope to see you again soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.